Colossians chapter number 1, the Lord has led me here, I believe, probably over the next couple of months on Wednesdays in the book of Colossians, we'll see. We want to be faithful to what the Lord wants. I do believe this is where the Lord has sent me, and I believe this is what He has for our church right now. I just want to open in a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Colossians chapter number 1. Heavenly Father, thank You, God, tonight for Your word and for Your truth. Lord, thank You so much for dying on the cross. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I bind the devil off this place tonight. Lord, he's not welcome here. Lord, we know he's trying to fight us every day. And Lord, he does. But Lord, I know that if we submit ourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, he'll flee. And Lord, tonight, we're resisting the devil. We want to hear from You tonight as we open up Your word. We know Thy word is truth, O Lord. And I thank You for that, Lord. I ask You to speak to the hearts and minds of Your people tonight. Lord, just get me out of the way, Lord. I just want to be a messenger to deliver the word that You've given me. And Lord, You've convicted me, and now I ask, God, that You'll convict Your people and show us, Lord, what it is that You would have from Your word tonight. Now, Lord, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. God, fill me with Your spirit in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Colossians chapter number 1, verse 1, the Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. How many are thankful for the grace of God tonight? Amen. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to what, church? Pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with what, church? I was reading this, and probably in 2 weeks we'll get down to verse number 9 and that verse number 11. But that verse number 9 kind of jumped off the page at me. The Bible says, For this cause we also, since the day ye heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You'll read this book of Colossians and you'll see that Paul is talking to the church, and he's not sitting here begging God for all these things for himself. What we see here is a preacher who is burdened for the hearts of his people, and we see a preacher who is trying to pass that burden along to every single church member in the church. By the way, listen, we ought to, as church members, be burdened for each other. Everybody okay with that? We ought to want to see one another grow spiritually. We ought to want to see one another have more knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ought to pray for one another, amen? We ought to seek God's wisdom, and we ought to pray that God would not just bless me and my family, but listen, we ought to be lifting each other up to the Lord often, amen? We ought to be doing that often and without ceasing. But tonight, we're not going to talk about that right now. If you look at verse number 1, the Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. Paul, number 1, understood it was the will of God that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. You say, what does that have to do with me? Well, it has a lot and everything to do with you. Listen, if you remember Paul before he was saved, what was his name? Somebody tell me. Saul. And Saul, what was he? He was a persecutor of Christians. He was doing bad to people that were trying to do what? Good. He was causing havoc upon homes in the church, going around, creating, just turmoil, home after home after home, murdering, persecuting good men, God-fearing men and women. Why? Because they believed the truth. Listen, when Paul got saved, or when Saul got saved, he got a new name. Can I say, you also got a new name when you got saved. You are no longer just who you used to be. Hey, listen, there's a new name written down in glory, and you ought to be glad that it's yours tonight. You know, the Bible says, rejoice not that you have powers over the angels, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven tonight. Paul understood that because of who he was, he had a responsibility. And it wasn't just to Paul. Paul was a minister of Jesus Christ by the will of who, church? God, is what the Bible says. We need to understand that when God saved us, he did not save us just to save us and we were no longer going to do anything else for the cause of Christ. Listen, God saved us. He gave each and every one of us a spiritual gift. We went over spiritual gifts a few Sundays ago, and each and every one of you here tonight have a spiritual gift if you are saved. You have the Holy Spirit residing in you. God has given you a gift, and God has given you and has some expectations for you. And can I say, through the Holy Ghost of God and His power, you can, by the will of God, become who God wants you to be. You can. See, we've got this mentality, I can't, it's too hard, that's not for me, I don't want to go through the valleys. Listen, living in Alaska, I got a real visual of what mountaintops really look like. And I mean all the time, and I've been up a few mountains, and I've been down a few mountains. Well, let me tell you something, I've been on a few hunts where we had to go way up, and we get to the mountain, and man, it'd be beautiful. And my buddy, man, he'd be like, look, there's a moose over there on that ridge. But listen, to get to that other ridge where that treasure is, what do we have to go in to get there? Valleys, we've got to start understanding that it's not always going to be mountaintop experiences in this Christian life. That nowhere in the Bible does God ever promise that. With every mountaintop, there's going to be a valley. To get to the next mountaintop, you got to cross a valley. You say, well, I don't want to cross the valley. I don't know what's in that valley. Listen, nobody knows what's in the next valley. But here's what you do know, and here's what you can rest assured of. You have a God who is faithful. You have a God who's faithful on the mountain, and you have a God who's faithful in the what, church? Valley, we sing it. The God on the mountain, He's still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. But listen, here's what we do. When things go wrong, what can I do to make this better? See, we want to change what God has already figured out for us. See, God knoweth what we have need of before we can ever even think about it. He knows the valley's coming. He knows exactly what we're going to experience in the valley. And here's, folks, listen. He knows exactly how much grace you need to get through that valley. It's up to us to trust God in the valley. How are we going to do that if we can't come to the conclusion that we are apostles of Jesus Christ? If you're saved, say amen. Hey, listen, you're an apostle of Jesus Christ. I don't care if you're 4 years old or 86 years old. God still got you here for a reason. There's a reason that God hasn't chosen to take you from this life unto eternal life yet. He's still doing something with you. And as long as there's God-granted breath within your lungs, you need to understand, if you're saved tonight, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ, and it's because it's God's will. Now, God, what is it that you want me to do? That's number one. It would be good if we all, as born-again believers, understood that God does have a will for our lives. There's a preacher that used to go around, and he would say, God has big plans for my life. Say that back with me. God has big plans for my life. Hey, listen. God does have big plans for your life. God has big plans for your family's life. God has big plans for your children's life. But here's the deal. How much faith do you and I really have to understand that? If our faith wavers every time there's a valley, let me just let you in on something. You're going to miss what God has for you. Because valleys are coming. And they're never going to stop. Because the devil's real. Hell is hot. Sin is real. And sin entered into the world and death passed upon all men. Listen, valleys are going to come. But God never changes. Never. Number two. Look in verse number two. The Bible says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number three says, We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus. Can I say this? How many would say, I love my church? Hey, listen, we're not all here tonight, but can I tell you something? The Bible says where two or more are gathered, He's here. I can tell you this. I've been alone, and God's been there. Y'all hear me? Some of the best times I've ever had in my life has been traveling down a road by myself in a car, listening to some good preaching, some convicting preaching. I'm not talking about preachers that don't tell you the truth. I'm talking about convicting Holy Spirit preaching, Holy Ghost, God-fearing preaching, or listening to some good, godly music, and the Spirit of God is just so real, tears will just start flowing down my face. That's the God we serve. But did you know, Paul here in verse number 3 says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for you. I'll ask you again, how many would say, I love my church? Now, everybody take a look to your left. And now look to your right. Now remember the faces you just looked at. Some might say, I don't want to remember that. But here's the deal. You say, I love my church. But when's the last time that you said, God, thank you for sister so-and-so. God, thank you for brother so-and-so. God, thank you for bringing them into my life. I'm talking about thank you for the ones who are hard to get along with. Thank you for the ones who you just could do without in your mind. They're there. They're everywhere. But listen to me. Paul says, hey, we give thanks to God for you. Listen, you want to know what will make New Hope Independent Baptist Church a strong church? When you start getting on your knees and not praying for yourself, but thanking God that you have the relationships within your church that you have, because in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this next Sunday morning, I could say, hey, look to your left, look to your right, and half of you could be absent from the body and present with the Lord, or absent from the body and like the rich man in hell, lifting up your eyes, wondering, God, why am I here? Hey, listen, there's only one reason why you'd end up there. Here's what I'm saying. When's the last time you were thankful for your church? I'm talking about really thankful. When's the last time you told God, thank you for bringing this church into my life? Thank you for bringing this individual into my life. And hey, take it a step further. When's the last time you went to that individual that you say you love so much and you cherish so much, but you've never even said, hey, I just want you to know you are a blessing to me and my family. Hey, you know what I like? I like waking up every day. And Mr. Walter's not the only one that sends scripture in the whole world. But you know what I like? I like that, one, I realize that I know he's spending time in God's Word every morning. And two, I like it that he thinks enough about people to send it out to them. And then later on, a couple hours later, he'll say, I'm praying for you today. Y'all hear me? How many of us do that? How many of us really love our church? Because listen, if you really love something, you're going to be thankful for it. Amen? You're going to cherish it. And when you cherish something, you take care of it. Is that true? Anybody ever receive something, a gift, and maybe you just, I don't know about this thing, and you just kind of put it on the shelf and you forget it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, you forget about it. Never going to use that. Just more storage. But then you get that one gift and you're like, whoa, this is what I have been seeking for a long time. And what do we do with gifts that we care about? We take care of them, don't we? We clean them up. We make sure they're neat. We make sure nothing's wrong with them. We make sure other people don't break them. Listen, we cherish them. Why? Because we're thankful for them. But things that we're not really thankful for, we just really don't even think about. You know, it's sad to think that many of us probably don't even think about other church members until we see them on Wednesday night, or Sunday morning, or Sunday night. It shouldn't be like that. But not only should we be thankful for them, let me back up a little bit. At a moment's notice, those we often take for granted could be in eternity. I can't help but think of just recently. You know, I didn't get to know Miss Shelley for too long. I got to meet her when I came here. She was already sick, not doing well when I moved here, and I got to visit her in the hospital a few times, and we visited her at home a few times. But we developed a pretty tight relationship in just the couple of months that I got to know her. We had a lot in common. And, you know, it was often in her sick time and her bad times that she would just send my wife an encouraging text that said, "Sister, I just want you to know I'm very thankful that God sent you here when he did." And you know what burdens me, or what does my heart good, is when I look over and I see tears start coming down my wife's eye and I say, "What's wrong?" She said, "It's just good to know that you're appreciated sometimes." Hey, I wonder how many of us send encouraging messages to other people and say, "You know what? I'm really thankful for you." Folks, you'd be surprised what it would do for somebody. It really does help. But you know, we take it for granted. They could be in eternity. Then guess what? All we'll be able to thank God for is the memories. Many of you are thinking about people now. I sure do wish I could just say thank you one more time to my grandpa. I sure do wish I could back up 13 years and go visit him a little bit sooner than I got to and just say thank you one more time. But you know, all I have now to do is talk about cherished moments. And I'm thankful for those. But folks, listen, while we still have the relationships that we have on earth, why not just be a little more thankful for the people that God's given us? Amen? It would do us all good to just say thank you to someone in our church. Think about this. How do you feel when someone tells you thank you? Brightens your day, doesn't it? Makes you feel like you're walking on cloud nine when someone comes up to you and you know that you made a difference in their life. Folks, listen, we ought to be striving to make other people feel like that. Amen? That should be our goal. Number three, but not only did he say give thanks, not only should you be thankful for them, can I say, you should pray for them, and you should pray for them often. He said in verse 3, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Praying always for you. Remember this, church. How many would say again, "I love my church"? Let me ask you this, or let me tell you this. Can I tell you this? Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. No prayer. You guys get that? Little prayer, say it with me. Little what? Much prayer? No prayer? Folks, it works. Prayer is just as big as God is. That's one of my favorite songs. How do we talk to God? Simply through prayer. It is critical that when we are covering everyone in our ministry, that we are covering everyone in our ministry in prayer. I'm talking about from the babies in the nursery to the pastor of the church. Everyone in between deserves your prayers. And not only do they deserve it, they need your prayers. They need their name called out to God. Because why? Because it's the only way they're going to make it is with God. Just want to read some verses on prayer tonight. Philippians 4:6, I'm not going to have you turn there. There's a few of them. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He said, be careful for what? Nothing. You know what Paul's saying? There's never a bad time to pray about something. Even if it's, hey God, can you just give me a safe trip to the grocery store and back? You know how many people die within 1 mile of their house in car accidents? A lot. God, could you just give me a good day in church today? God, could you just give me a good spirit, create in me a clean heart, oh God. Listen, a man after God's own heart prayed that prayer. David, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Folks, if David had to do that, what makes us think that we shouldn't be doing that? I wonder how much better our days would be if we were careful for nothing, but prayed for everything. Hey, let me ask you this. What could it hurt? God, keep me safe on the road grader today. Hey, I've seen a lot of tragic accidents on heavy equipment. A whole bunch of them. God, keep me safe in the office today. God, keep me safe while I'm working, whatever you're doing. It's never a bad time to pray. John 15:7 says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Here's the difference in praying and praying and believing. Many of us pray often, and we wake up worried more than we were when we went down to say the prayer. Folks, that's not believing that God is able to fix your problem, is it? You know, when you get up and you pray believing, hey, if you can trust God with your eternity, y'all listening to me? You ought to be able to trust God with your children. You ought to be able to trust God with your moms and dads, with the relationships in this world that we wish were better, with things that, circumstances. Hey, if God is able to save my never-dying soul, listen, He's able to help my right now circumstance. Amen? He is. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Listen, what is Jesus trying to say there? He's trying to say this. The only time you pray is at church. You don't have a very good prayer life. If the only time you bow your head is when somebody else is praying, or you're praying for your food, God is great, God is good. Hey, that's all good. But listen, you better have a secret prayer life that others don't know about. Yes, we give prayer requests, and yes, I believe that more people praying, more power, but listen to me, you better have a private prayer life with God if you expect to make it through this thing called life with some hope. God needs and wants to be a part of your life every single day. Every day. You better have a private prayer life. Matthew 6:7 says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Luke 11:9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Jeremiah 33:3, this is my family verse. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know what God's saying to us? It's hard sometimes to make yourself spend time with God, isn't it? Why? Because we're caught up in life. Hey, guilty. I'll be the first to tell you. And I'm ashamed to say it. Sometimes I'll get to the end of my day and I'm like, my goodness, what happened with the day? And I'll think, I should probably spend some time with the Lord. And you know how it works. Well, you're tired. It's so close to bedtime. I got to get up early in the morning. You guys know what I'm talking about. And then we'll just forget about it and we'll say, I can make it up tomorrow. I don't really need to pray. Hey, you know what I remember a few weeks ago, Brother Walter said, no amount of faith today is going to be enough for tomorrow. I wrote that in my Bible. I have a long list of sayings from preachers in my Bible, and I don't write everything down, but when something sticks, man, I write it down. No amount of faith, and hey, no amount of praying today is going to be enough for tomorrow. You get up and you do it again, because you know what that does? It tells God that you really do believe that He's able, because here's what happens. We'll pray once, it won't happen, then you won't mention anything else to God about it until tragedy strikes. Y'all all right? And all of a sudden, someone's on their deathbed, and now you want to go to God. And we got no problem going to God when that's going on. Why? Because it is going to help us. But listen, the Spirit indeed is willing. You know what He's saying? All you have to do is reach out to me. But your flesh is weak. God is willing. And not only is He willing, I'm going to say this, He is able. Amen. God is able. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God. I like this verse. And one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Catholics don't like that verse. Y'all all right? We don't need to go to somebody to talk to God for us. When Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, the veil was rent. And guess what? We have access to God now because of the Holy Spirit of God that we have attained at salvation. Y'all all right? Hey, we have access. We don't need someone to go for me. You can go. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. You know what that's telling you? When you ask God to do something, you ought to expect Him to do something. Now, it might not be exactly what you want, but you've got to understand, God is able to answer your prayer. But when you pray, you're just like, well, God, got this bad news. You know about it. Sure would be nice if you were able to do something about it. Y'all hear what I'm saying here? That's the devil. Y'all know that? How about this? God, you knew about this before I did. I know you're not surprised. And if anybody's going to do some good in this, it's going to have to be you. Romans 8:28, but God works all things together for good to them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. Amen? He can work it all together for good. And number four tonight is very important. Let's look at verse number four. Colossians chapter 1. The Bible says, since ye heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, since we heard. Here's Paul again Not only has he given thanks for his church, not only is he teaching the church that they ought to pray for each other, but here is something that every pastor, every church member ought to practice. They ought to practice complimenting other believers when they do something good for the Lord. Did y'all hear what I just said? Now listen, don't do it to get a compliment. Don't do that. You're doing it for the Lord. But I'll tell you something that I try to do as a preacher is if I see a young man or a young lady that, you want to test the theory, throw a piece of trash down there tonight and watch how many kids will walk by it. I guarantee you one of them, at least one, will see the trash and they'll reach down. And what are they going to do? They're going to pick it up. And you know, if you see something little like that, young lady, young man, I just want you to know, I saw that. The Lord saw that. Y'all see what I'm saying? When you see another brother or another sister, maybe God's blessing them. Hey, go to them and say, look, it is so good to see God blessing your family. When you see them doing something good for the Lord, when you see them stepping out by faith and doing things that they don't normally do, hey, encourage them. Say, I want you to know I'm praying for you. And I'm very thankful that you're letting the Lord use you. Folks, that will go a long, long ways. You know, people will become who you tell them they are. You know that? They will. You tell somebody their whole life, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're not worth anything, guess what? They're going to grow up believing that. But you tell them, hey, look, instead of saying, you're dumb, how about you say, hey, that wasn't very smart. Let me explain to you why that wasn't smart, and let me help you through this situation to be better next time. You know, I look back, and I can't think of times where I wish that I could go back with my children, and instead of reacting and saying things like, why you got to be so crazy, I wish I would go back and I could say, you know, I sure am thankful God put you in my life. I sure am thankful that you are who you are. And I want you to know I'm going to do everything in my power as your dad to make sure that you become the young man or the young lady that God wants you to be. And likewise, hey, I know there's not a lot of children in here, but we're all children, right? Hey, it would be good if we could look to find some good. You look long enough, you're going to find bad in everyone, from your preacher down to the nursery babies, okay? You say, how could you find bad in a baby? You ever seen a baby cry for nothing? What's that called? Rebellion. It's rooted into them, is it not? It absolutely is. I mean, you know, that's why, you know, discipline should start from a very young age, not when they're 13 or 14. That's too late. You messed up. You can't take that back. But look for something good about somebody. I dare you to find something good about somebody in your church that maybe you like, I don't know if there's any good in that guy or that girl at all. How in the world am I supposed to find that? Well, take all the time that you spent building the case against them for bad and say, you know what? God, with your help, I want you to help me find the good in that guy. I want you to help me find the good in that lady. And I want to compliment them and edify them and lift them up so that they can be better used of you. Just a few scriptures here. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Let's turn there together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 11. A few scriptures here and we'll be done. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. The Bible says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together. And what's the next word, church? Edify. What does that word mean? Somebody tell me. Lift up one another, even as also ye do. Hebrews chapter number 10. Let's go there. Hebrews chapter number 10. To the right in your Bible just a little bit. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23. And listen, there's hundreds of verses we could have went to, but these are just a few. Hebrews 10, 23. The Bible says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another," look at this now, "to provoke unto" what? "Love," and to what? "Good works." So it's never my job to bring someone down, is it? It's always my job to find a way to lift someone up. Here's you know, your parents said it to you your whole life. If you can't find something good to say, don't what? Don't say anything at all. Because all you're going to do is be a tool of Satan. That's what the devil does. His job is to what? Steal, kill, and what? Destroy. And folks, he's very good at his job. Very good at it. Verse 25, I like this verse. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves," what's the next word? "As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Folks, you say, "I love my church." Listen, if you love your church, you'll desire to be with your church. Y'all all right? That's a Bible principle. If you love your church, you'll desire to be with your fellow members. Because I don't know about you, I hate the devil. I hate him. I mean, he's a pretty awful dude, isn't he? But what I look forward to, and the promises that I rest upon, is this: greater is he that is in me than he that is where? In the world. As hard as the devil is trying to fight, and listen to me, in some ways it encourages me. Because I know God's doing something big. Here's the deal. The train's still on the tracks, right? God's still the captain. He's still the engineer. The devil's still trying to co-pilot everything. The devil's still trying to co-conspire with Christians and lie and tell lies. And look, plenty of us have had opportunities, myself included, to hop right off the train this week. It ain't worth it. Frustrating, isn't it? Could have just jumped off and, man, forget that tray. You know what I'm saying? Life would be better without that thing. But here's the deal. The harder the devil fights, the more your faith should not waver. You've got to understand that where sin abound, grace did what? Much more abound. And if that Bible principle is true, and it is, God is getting ready to do something big right here. And I don't want to be off the train when it happens. I don't want to be looking in the rear view. Folks, I want to be a part of it. How about you? I want to be right in the middle of it all. But you got a choice to make. Let your faith waver or not. Ephesians 4:29, we're almost done. Two more verses. Ephesians 4:29. It's hard to be encouraged when the devil's fighting, isn't it? Ephesians 4:29. The Bible says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is" what, church? "Good to the use" of what? "Edifying," or lifting up, "that it may minister grace unto the hearers." What is Paul saying? Hey, if what you are about to say is going to bring someone down, or is going to hurt someone, or is gossip, or might be a lie, or you think he said, she said, hey, close your mouth. I saw a picture. I wish I had a screen. I'd show it to you. It said, the new lipstick for losing weight. It was a tube of super glue. You know, that's what some Christians need. It's some super glue, right? I mean, it's comical, but think about it. How often do we talk and just say stuff that never has any good intentions? It's so easy to do, isn't it? So easy to do. And let's just be frank. It's kind of fun sometimes. Y'all all right? Isn't it? It is. Why? Because we're not talking about me. We're finally going to say something bad about somebody else. Folks, that's not right. And it's not biblical. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Why? That it may minister grace unto the hearers. Last verse, Proverbs 27, 17. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17 tonight. Proverbs 27, 17. Here it is, folks. Why is it important to compliment other believers? Look at what the Bible says. Iron sharpeneth what? So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his what? Hey, how could you sharpen your fellow believer's countenance? Praying for him. Being thankful for him. Saying good things to him. Ministering grace to him. Lifting him up. Encouraging him. Edifying him. Folks, listen. We need each other. I don't know if you're paying attention, but it's an election year. And I'm not up here to preach politics, because to be quite frank with you, I'm a King James Bible believer. You want to know what I am? That's what I am. Okay, but here's what I am going to tell you. This year's going to get rough. Things are going to go crazy. Things around us are just going to seem like they're out of our control. Let me just give you a hint. It is out of your control, but it's not out of His control. We need to be on our knees for our nation. Amen? There's some dangerous things taking place up there right now. Some dangerous things taking place. Folks, listen. God's chosen people is still the nation of Israel. And we got a president right now proposing to go send aid to Gaza and Hamas, who's fighting against who? Y'all okay? Y'all know what that means for America? Well, here's what it means. It just means this. This Bible must be true. And Jesus is coming soon. But listen, it's got to get worse before it gets better. Y'all know that? But hey, we don't have to worry about that. Because, I mean, I could go to sleep and die tonight, or I could have my head taken off in a car crash. You know what I'm going to be? Absent from the body, I'm going to be present with the Lord for eternity. I'm going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ forever. Y'all okay? You're going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Can we get that live stream killed, brother? I don't have anybody back there. We need to kill that live stream. I got an announcement I have to make. I can't do it live. Thank you for listening tonight. But I do have something I have to share.